Turn to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. It's not unfamiliar to you, the passage, if you read, because when you hit this passage of Scripture, it really, really does something to your heart if you're saved. Now, lots of times on a day like today, in a church like this, we'll preach a salvation message and hope that there's somebody who has not yet trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior that's in the congregation, and that through the preaching of the Word of God, that person can be saved. And we're certainly no exception today to that particular thought. However, there's a great deal in this text for those of you who are saved. For those of us who are saved today, it's a very, very encouraging text. And so we shouldn't just consider, well, this is the time for me to just wait and pray for the pastor because he's addressing a handful of people in here today that may be lost. No, this is something that's good for all of us, whether you are saved or whether you are lost here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, the Bible says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take, really, our feeble efforts and magnify your word through our work here today. Father, these are your words. And I'm just a man called to preach those words, but Father, there is nothing in my heart today that wants anything to happen besides this, that you do what you want done in this congregation today with these words in this book. We pray that, God, you'll be glorified and your Son honored, that these dear saints will be edified and the lost will come to Jesus Christ and know him as their Savior. Well, we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're not familiar with the text, let me just tell you briefly what you've read here. He started out the passage, he said, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Well, I'm standing here before you in flesh and in blood. And therefore, the physical condition in which I stand here before you, I cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither can you. Something has to change, because these bodies will not live forever, and the kingdom of God is forever and forever. And so what happens is that when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he gets saved. I've used that word. His condition changes. He's no longer lost, which means that he was without Christ. When that happens, then there is something supernatural that takes place inside of him or inside of her. The Bible calls that being born again. And what happens then is that when you die, that what happens is the body then goes into the grave, and after the body has been in the grave a while, and the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the body changes and is refashioned into his glorious body, so that we end up with an incorruptible body, we end up with an immortal body, and we live and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And you know, when I was younger, the Bible says the glory of young men is their strength. I had more physical strength and more physical energy than I do today. So maybe having an immortal, incorruptible body was not the number one priority on my mind, but as I get closer to my 70, you know, it's on my mind a lot. I some of you are laughing because you're down the road a little bit further than I am, but I can tell by your smiles and your nods, it only becomes more desperate, doesn't it? We look forward to an incorruptible, immortal body. May I tell you something? In this text, we saw in verse 57, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I like being on the winning side. If I go into a competition, I want things stacked in my favor. And I want to win. We have a family reunion from time to time. About every 2 or 3 years, all of us get together and our families. And a part of that deal is Olympics, we call it, family Olympics. And one of those things involves a tug of war. And the last time we did that, I was the anchor, if you can imagine. Well, we're not a very big family. And I'm telling you, man, I got everything I could. I was leaning until I was just nearly laying on the ground with my feet dug in. I did not want to lose. I don't like losing. I like victory more than I like defeat. People say, well, you learn more in defeat. That's fine. You learn all you want to learn. I want to win. It's just the way it goes. And listen, when you are with Jesus Christ and you are saved, you are on the winning side. Amen. You have victory, the Bible says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, victory, victory over what? There are several things that are working against you, and you have to be able to have a victory over those things. The first one is that when you are with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have victory over sin. You have victory over sin. Now, I realize there are people who have trouble with various kinds of sins, and they go to try to do something about those sins. They may turn over a new leaf, or they may reform, or they may end up in prison a while and say, you know what, I don't want to steal anymore. Or they may go to some sort of a group therapy or an individual therapist and try to get this worked out. I heard a fellow talking the other day on a CD that I was listening to. He said, this fellow went to a therapist and he had two scrambled eggs on top of his head and he had a strip of bacon over this ear and a strip of bacon over that ear. And the therapist looked at him and said, can I help you? And he said, you sure can. He said, I need to talk to you about my brother. And a lot of therapy is like that. I talked to a fellow one time. He said, yeah, they come in here and they're telling me all about everybody else. And the only one they can affect is themselves. Now listen, we're not going to sit here and elaborate this morning on the various kinds of sins that affect you. Some of those things are visible, and you know, if you're doing those and somebody catches you doing those, it's obvious that you're involved in that kind of sin. A lot of the sins are sins of the heart, sins of the mind, things that cannot be seen by another human being, but they can be seen by the Lord. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro through the earth, beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all. And our hearts are open to Him, and He knows what's in those things. Well, if you're honest with yourself, you know what's in there too. I realize the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and it will deceive you into believing that what you do is not like the way that the other person does it, and when they do it, it's a sin, but when you don't, when you do it, it's not a sin. I realize how the game is played, but may I tell you something? Everybody in this room has a problem with sin. Doesn't make any difference how it manifests itself in your life. It's whooping on you. And there are some areas of your life you've been saved long enough and you're saying, God, I don't want this sin anymore. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says that sin shall not have dominion over you. The reason you continue to get trapped by that ultimately is you still want to do it. But when you make up your mind you don't want to do that anymore and you lean to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a supernatural power inside of you that will give you victory over that sin. Everybody in here that's been saved for a little time that has dealt with sin in his life or in her life can stand up right now if they wanted to and give you a testimony how God has given them victory over a particular sin or over some sins in their lives. And you know something? They know, and I know, that did not come by my self-effort. That did not come by your self-effort. God did something in your life. And He did it because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and defeated sin at the cross. The Bible says, God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, when a person gets saved, it's not just about punching a ticket out of hell. I mean, that in itself is a good thing. I wasn't the kind of person that was led to the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody scared the hell out of me. That was a preacher one time that got to heaven and he thought he was going to get all kind of big rewards. And he got a little cottage and a few little rewards. There was a taxi cab driver that got up there about the same time. And he was got all kind of rewards and a great big old mansion. And the preacher like, whoa, wait a minute. I spent my life serving you behind the pulpit. How come I get so little and he gets so much? And he says, I'll tell you what, that taxi cab driver scared the hell out of a lot more people than you ever did. Something to be said for all that, you see. Now listen, God made Jesus to be sin for us. And he didn't know any sin. He turned him into your sins and died for those sins. Let me tell you something. He did not intend for those sins to keep whipping you. He didn't intend for you to live a life without enjoying the victory of Calvary. That was a great price that he paid. Now, you know, ultimately people say, well, I don't know how to appropriate that supernatural power in my life. It's simpler than you think. I mean, to describe. Easier said than done. But it's this, and Paul said it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. See, that's the part that people don't like in having victory over sin is that they got to give up something. If my sins that I need to have victory over are sins that are committed with my hands and I'm crucified with Christ, then I'm not going to be able to commit those sins. If they are committed with my feet, which are nailed to that cross with Jesus Christ, then I'm not going to be able to go to those places where I can commit that sin. If those sins are committed with my heart, sins of the heart are prolific. I mean, they're everywhere. I'm not going to be able, they pierced him in his heart. Listen, if those sins are sins of the thoughts, they crowned him with those thorns and drove those thorns into his head. Listen, if they're sins of the eyes, once you're crucified with Christ, you can't look all around at those things you once looked at. You're looking one way, straight ahead. You see how it goes? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you understand? You become a vessel, and when you're crucified, Jesus Christ begins to live his life in you where you could not live your life your way. He lives his life. Listen, did he sin when he was in the earth the first time? No. If he has the liberty to have dominion of your life and live his life in you, you're not going to sin. Sin will not have dominion over you. Say, does that mean sinless perfection? No, because we're always the time trying to grab that rein and take control again. But if you want victory over sin, let me tell you something, that victory is guaranteed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He beat it. And I'm glad he did. Amen. All right. Not only do you have victory over sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have victory over mortality. Victory over mortality. He said here again and again, he said, this mortal must put on immortality. And there's a time when that comes. He said, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. It's going to happen. You know, there are a lot of people today that are very, very concerned about dying. They don't want to die. Now, I'm not, you know, going to go out there on Rand Morgan and step out in front of a truck just so, you know, I can be gone. I'm not saying that I'm looking to die, but what I'm saying is you and I have got to have victory over that fear of death. And the way to have victory over that fear of death is not to eat better vitamins. or any other kind of strange herbal thing out of the Amazon or off of the tops of the mountains of the Himalayas. I'm telling you, I ended up getting this one product. As a matter of fact, somebody gave it to me and I ordered it myself because I liked it. And I mean, somehow or another, my name got on a list. And now I get these flyers and mailers and magazines and things. You cannot believe the disgusting things they talk about when they talk about nutrition. But all of these things are to defy age. All of these things are to put off death. All of these things are to beat your mortality. May I tell you something? You can go out there and eat that grass if you want to. You can eat all vegetables and stay away from meat. You can eat all meat and stay away from vegetables. You can order your product from some deal that was made so organic that, you know, nothing's ever even seen it before. And take this product as if it's going to somehow or another defy death, and I'm going to tell you something, you're going to lose. You're going to lose a lot of time. You're going to lose a lot of money. Some fat cat's getting rich down in, you know, San Antonio, Texas, telling you he's shipping this stuff to you from somewhere in Central America. You know, there's a lot of people that believe a lot of stuff about this. Okay, I'm not, you know, take care of yourself. I'll grant you. Go ahead and take care of yourself. But listen, be balanced, man. If you bought every little product that came around to defy age, you would be out of money and out of time because all you'd be doing is drinking water and popping pills. It's crazy. I'm not worried about dying. I mean, I'm not being careless. You can tell. I'm not being careless with the health that God has given me. I am thankful for this. But may I tell you something? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we're reading in verse 31, he said, I die daily. You know the way to have victory over mortality is to say, you cannot hurt me, because the most you can do is take away my life. And when you do that, you have entered me into glory. When men are in the military and they're being tortured, they try to bring them to the place of ultimately killing them. That would be a joy. You're looking at me strange. You want to keep paying taxes? You know, that's coming up next week. The Bible says about people who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I can't wait to begin to enjoy the full benefits of eternal life. You're going to hear more illustrations about Big Ben in the next several weeks from Randy and Tony and me and these kids than you probably care to hear. But I'll tell you, we just made that trip out there and it was beautiful in its own way. But may I tell you something? That entire park out there is a testimony to devastation and catastrophe and volcanic explosions and erosions and busted things. You can't even imagine what that place is going to look like when Jesus Christ comes back. That testifies to mortality. Everything out there tells you, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. And when I look at that, I think to myself, you know what? I can't wait until we live in a time when mortality is not the problem anymore. And mortality is not going to be the problem when we come to Jesus Christ. I look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when you lose this and gain that. Listen, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, not only do you have victory over sin and victory over mortality, but you also have victory over death. That is, the actual death itself. In other words, we're not running around here, those who are saved and living close to the Lord, we're not running around here worried about dying. It's going to happen someday. That mortality. But then at the same time, when you die, death isn't going to have the victory. Listen, death is as common as birth, impartial as the law of gravitation, and as uncertain as a thief. I've heard Christians, when they've had to bury a child, say, "Why did God take my baby?" Death comes. It's indiscriminate. It takes Christians. It takes lost people. It takes babies. It takes old people. It takes spouses. It takes children. It takes aunts and uncles. It takes friends and loved ones. It doesn't care. Death just likes killing people. There'll be people sometimes that are working in professions where they see death all the time. And it's hard on them. It works on their minds and works on their hearts because they don't ever see the victory. But may I tell you something? When a saved person dies, he enters into victory because death can't hold him. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you understand what that means? The minute that you die, the very second that you expire, the very last breath that you breathe on this earth, your soul will be released from that body if you're in Christ and go straight to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how can that be? Well, it's an interesting thing. What happens when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior is very simple. When you do, God plugs you in by the Spirit of God and puts you into the body of Christ, and the Bible says you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What you're like is a yo-yo that's down at its... You really are, like some of you. Like a yo-yo. Like spinning down there at the bottom, right? You know, did you ever do that? What would you call that thing? Sleeping. You ever call, you know, you throw that yo-yo down like that, it goes zzzz like that, and the guy's just got his finger on it, and then he goes... like that, and whoosh, right into the deal. All right? When you got saved, you were connected, and when the Lord, your appointment comes, he just goes like that, and whoop, right into the hand of the Lord. Death is right there like that. I got it. Where'd he go? And that's a victory. And you get that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know something? I have attended the death of a number of people there the moment that they passed away. And that's supposed to be a very sad occasion. You're supposed to cry, you know, I guess you're supposed to. I've never done that when I'm in the room of a saved person. I mean, I'm not trying to work something up or not work something up. It just doesn't happen. Why? Because, whoop, death was right there to, gone. Missed again. Gone. Missed again. You know what? I don't want to die. I want Jesus to come while I'm still alive. But if I do, I'm looking forward to that little, gotcha. You know why that happens? Because Jesus Christ beat death. He rose from the dead. I told you an illustration sometime back, but death and the devil had Jesus Christ. And the devil said to death, he said, "You better keep him, boy." He said, "I got him. You tend to your business and all the wickedness you like to do. Don't you worry about him. I got him." Next day, the devil says to death, "You got him?" He said, "What you troubling me for, man? I got him. I told you I have him. Leave me alone." Next day, "Hey, death, yeah? You still got him?" He said, "Man, did I not tell you? Pay attention to your business. I got my business under control. Leave me alone." Next day, the devil says, "Hey, death. Hey, death. Death, I'm talking to you. What you want? You still got him?" "Mm-mm. Something sure done gone wrong around here." And that's what happened at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens at your death. About the time old death is ready to strike like that, gone. Can't get you. Listen. I like good doctors. They are helpful. But a good doctor is limited on how much he or she can do for you. When it comes to this thing, they don't have medicine for that. But Jesus does. And you need that medicine. All right, let me tell you something else. Not only do you have victory over sin and victory over mortality and victory over death, but you also have victory over the grave. You say, well, what do you mean? your soul's going out of here the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you die, your soul is gone like that. But that body's got you. It's got to spend some time in the grave. I know that really threw me when I first got reading the Bible. People used to say to me, you know what, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die, you get to go to heaven. You've heard that, haven't you? I've been telling you that today. Well, and before I understood some of these things, I was like, okay, wait a minute, I don't understand. When you die, you get to go to heaven. I said, I have been to a lot of funerals, and the body is laying in the casket. What do you mean, I get to go to heaven? When? How? That's when I learned that you have a soul inside of there, and it goes right away. Well, I thought, okay, well, what about that body you've been spending all that time in? If the Lord created Adam and all of us proceeded from that creation, I mean, was that just like junk? I mean, all this time we spent nourishing this body and doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ in this body and living in this body and procreating in this body, that just the end of it? And the Bible says, no, it's not the end of it. What happens is that body goes to the grave for a period of time, however long between the time you die and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, the Bible says, like he said here, at the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. What's going to happen is the Lord's going to blow a trumpet, and that body is coming up out of that grave. Do they not face bodies in a graveyard a particular way? You read in your Bible, you'll find out why they're faced that way. Because it's anticipation of the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they may not tell you that. And if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it wouldn't make any difference to you. But if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that body is coming up out of that grave. And it is going to come up in a body that looks just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorified. The grave can't hold you. One of the greatest pleasures, as I've told you recently, that I have at a funeral is being able to stand over that grave when we go to the graveside with that family tearful there, put my hand on that casket, and say to that family, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And when that casket gets lowered in that grave, I smile and say, you can't hold him. You got him a little while. You don't get to keep him. Because I've got that fella was saved and has victory over that grave. So enjoy him while you got him, because you ain't got him long. And that's the way it is. That comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. Death and hell and the grave and sin and the devil, all these things, all connected, all this bad news, all this chaos, all this beating, Jesus Christ wins. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, he did that when he rose from the grave. He whooped them. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? Like I was telling you about that tug of war, you'll have your hand on the winning side. That rope may go this way, and that rope may go this way. You may find yourself down and out sometimes and doing great sometimes. Back and forth it goes, but he'll never pull you across that line. You are going to come out on the winning side. Say, now, well, what should I do about it? If you're here today without Jesus Christ, while I've been preaching this, the Holy Spirit should be speaking to your heart and mind about your eternal condition. You're not ready to face the Lord because you don't have the victory. You say, how do I get that victory? Same way we all did. The way the Bible said, you've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. How do you do that? I had a guy ask me that. I would, but how do you do that? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. You bow your head before the Lord and you pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith, because it's not in a prayer, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He enters you and He takes over and leads His life in you and takes you to heaven when you die. Pretty simple. Some say, that's too simple. Why would He make it tough after everything Jesus Christ has already had to endure? What's the purpose in that? People that like to make it difficult are people that want to have a hand in the salvation. You don't, and you won't. All right? You say, but I'm saved here today, and you said there was something in here for me. Look at verse 58. If you've already got victory over sin, victory over mortality, victory over death, victory over the grave, guess what? My beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what he said? Then if that's the case, and he can't beat you in these four areas of your life, then just go ahead and steadfastly, unmovably abound in the work of the Lord, because your labor's not in vain. It's coming up to greet you. You know, one of the greatest thrills I have of being in the ministry, one of the greatest thrills I have of being in the ministry is knowing that what I'm doing counts for eternity. It's not in vain. Wouldn't it be a shame if I'd have stayed in the banking business that I was in, not gotten saved, not started working for the Lord, accumulated a great thing of wealth, had a big old home and all this other kind of stuff and a nice inheritance and charitable gifts and all that, and die without Christ? The whole thing would have been an enormous waste of time. As you get saved and all of a sudden you start putting your money in the Lord's work and you start putting your time in the Lord's work, as many of you do, you've got your own jobs, you're taking care of your families, but you're down here a lot doing something for the Jesus Christ and taking care of things. He said, keep on, boy, because you're on the winning side. You're fighting a winning battle. Your work is not in vain. So stay with it. Don't stop. Stick with it. And when you feel down and out and depressed and thinking, man, what is all this worth? He said, don't talk like that. Look beyond the current circumstances and recognize the finish line is yours. The tape will break. You will go through. The medal is there. Stay with it. You win. Listen, I'm not a betting man, but if I were a betting man and I already had seen the outcome of a Super Bowl competition or a World Series or whatever kind of sport it is, that you like a race or something like that, if I'd already seen the outcome and you hadn't, and we want to sit down here and bet, wouldn't that be something if I knew who the winner was? And I said, yeah, man, let's bet. Let's bet. I bet on the outcome of this thing. And you say, well, sure, I'll bet on it. And I say, well, I'll take this, and I pick the winning team. And I bet you $100 that they win. The other guy says, okay, I'll bet you. I bet they don't. That's stupid, isn't it? For the other guy. Smart for me. And then we would sit there and watch it and go, ha, ha, look at there. I just won $100. Isn't that something? How did you know? You always, because listen, I know who's going to win. You know who's going to win. It's not in vain to labor steadfastly on the winning side, because you know how it's going to come out. It just charges my batteries and says, you know what? There are times when the devil's kicked a little sand in my eyes and I didn't like it. There are times when I got down and out and felt bad and got worn out. But you know what? You just get back up and keep going again. Because you win. In Jesus Christ, you win. Don't they always like that? That's a win-win situation. Don't they like that phrase? That's a win-win situation. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ gets a laborer for him who reproduces, that's a win for Jesus Christ. And if you're the laborer that's doing, that's a win for you. And that's a good thing. Victory. The Bible says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to wonder about how it's going to come out. I know the end already. Put it in the bank. You win. You win. Now, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, we're sitting here enjoying the beginnings of a celebration, being on the winning side. You lose. you lose. You lose without Jesus Christ. The devil wins. Sin wins. Death wins. Immortality wins. The grave wins. Now, tell you something. I don't want that for you. And if I don't, and I'm a mere human being, I guarantee you Jesus Christ doesn't want that for you. He's the one that paid the price to make you the winner. He punched the winning ticket. No lottery. Every person that trusts Christ is a winner. Don't leave here today without Jesus Christ. Don't you do that. He said, are you telling me what to do? I'm inviting you persuasively to take him. If you're here today and you're saved and you're just about giving up, just about throwing in the towel, about done, don't do it. The victory's already been granted to you. Just stay with the fight a little longer. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to accomplish in our midst something that only you can do, and that's the supernatural work of your Holy Spirit to encourage those that are discouraged in their work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also pray right now, Father, that you will, please, take this message from the Scripture. Use it to bring the lost to Jesus. Not for our sakes, but for your sakes. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. First question, Christian, talking about those that are already saved. You about ready to get, thrown in the towel? About had it? Question whether you should just keep after this race a little bit longer. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help those that are feeble and discouraged and beat up. I don't know who they are and I don't know why they feel that way, but Lord, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit will let them see that the end of their labor is victory in Jesus. How many of you today can raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm in already. I'm saved. I've got the victory in Jesus. I'm a saved man. I'm a saved woman. Raise your hand up right quick. Just raise it up and put it right back down. Okay, now there's so many hands that go up. Of course, I can't see, and I wasn't doing that to trick you so I could see who wasn't raising their hands. There's no way I could tell. But you can tell. If you were honest and you couldn't raise your hand, the problem is you know that you're not saved. And therefore, you know that you don't have that victory in Jesus Christ. So let me ask another question. You're here today, and you want to have that victory in Jesus Christ. You want to be saved. I want to pray for you, and I'd like to help you. But I need to know to stay and give you the gospel. You're here today without Christ, and you want him. Raise your hand. And I'll pray for you anywhere in the building. You're here today without Jesus Christ, but you want the victory in Jesus. Slip your hand up. I'll pray for you and slip it right back down. It's not a hard question. It's a great, great opportunity. Father, you know the hearts of people visibly. No hands were raised. But that doesn't mean that the hearts aren't desperate, desperately in need of Jesus Christ and salvation and victory through him. I'm asking you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, continue to minister to them. They can have victory in Jesus if they'll trust you. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.